Welcome to PM Lessons Learned, a podcast for project managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Increase your PM knowledge, build business relationships, increase your effectiveness, increase your marketability, gain professional support. Join our group and take part in our conference calls. Details at pmlessonslearned.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Henry Will, and welcome to another pmlessonslearned.com conference call. Today is June the 18th, 2009, and this will be podcast number 72, believe it or not. So, folks, this is our PM best practice call, and tonight our speaker needs no introduction because I am the speaker. So I'm just going to be talking this evening about RACI roles and responsibilities. And we'll get into that topic in a minute, but I just wanted to make a few quick announcements. First of all, I want to encourage everybody to join our Yahoo group. If you haven't already, you'll get information about our calls. We also have a new volunteer coordinator, and he will be communicating to folks pretty soon about some of our volunteer options that are available to people if they want to volunteer for our group. We've had a lot of people telling us how they've been able to pass the PMP exam because of studying using our PMP study group that meets on the first Thursday every month. We have a lot of people that are giving us some great feedback about the PM job shop calls that we have on the second Thursday every month. And, of course, we've got people that are really reaping a lot of the benefits from gaining knowledge from the PM best practices that we have on the third Thursday every month. And if you remember, last month we had an all-member call. And, of course, anybody's a member if they join our Yahoo group or listen to our calls or join one of our LinkedIn calls. And all the information about all these things is all available on our website on the left-hand side at pmlessonslearned.com. But we had an all-member call last month on the fourth Thursday, and we had a lot of people on the call, and we had some great discussions. We had some presentations from all of the hosts from the different conference calls. We talked about different volunteer opportunities. One of the things we talked about is, could we do some kind of a project management type of competition on a task, kind of like they have on a TV show? You know, would that be something project managers could do? And there's some people interested in that. Not a lot of interest, but we have some interest. If you're interested in any of these things or volunteering, just contact us via the contact us link on the website. I do want to mention that we, as I did before, that a little earlier, that we do have a Yahoo group for our group that's free to join. And if you go to the link on the left-hand side of the website, there's a link there for files and presentations. And if you want to download the presentation for this evening, you can follow the directions there. It's in the folder for PM best practice calls. So you can follow that link there now if you want to go get the presentation. In the meantime, I wanted to mention that we do have a second Yahoo group for the PM job shop calls. That's for people that are in the project management profession that are interested in learning more about career topics. They're want to learn more about how to increase their career, how to market themselves, how to, I guess if you want to say, brand yourself, give yourself a good brand name. And it's a good call for people that are looking for jobs as well. That's part of the reason why we call it PM Job Shop. So you might want to join that Yahoo group. And then, of course, LinkedIn groups. You'll see a link on the left-hand side of our website for LinkedIn groups. We have two LinkedIn groups, one for PM Lessons Learned and one for our subgroup, PM Job Shop. So you might be interested in those as well. We have discussion boards there. And we're working on some other things. We're working on a mentoring program. Again, we're looking for volunteers to help out with these things, and you'll soon be seeing a communique coming out on that. I did want to mention that with this new volunteer coordinator, some of our volunteers are going to be recognized soon, I hope. That's one of the goals, and we'll be seeing some information about some of our volunteers. You know, I talked a little bit about branding. How can you brand yourself? What would happen if somebody came on our calls? We just had somebody just before I started the recording that was talking about how they come to all of our calls. They come to the three calls that we have that we record every month, the PMP study call on the first Thursday, the PM job shop on the second Thursday, and this PM best practice call on the third Thursday. And they also come to our virtual PMP study group that we have now that meets on Tuesday nights every week. If you're interested in any of these things, just send us an email and we'll connect you to the right people. But I jokingly said, well, he's a four-star general because he attends four of our monthly meetings. And I was thinking, what would happen if a person like that got on the calls, and on every one of our calls, they made sure that they asked at least one question, a very well-worded question, in such a way so that that person began to be known as somebody that is very interested, very well-known in the project management profession. And let's just say that person was looking for a career change and a job opening came up and somebody was thinking, well, where can I find somebody? Do you think that they might listen into some of our calls and find out that this person is maybe considered an expert or somebody that's very well known in project management? It's something to think about. So you might want to participate in our calls, and that's a good reason to do that, is because you'll be able to brand yourself. So tonight's presentation is about RACI roles and responsibilities. I know that when you saw me send out the announcement for this call, I said this might be a very RACI call. Not in the sense of risque, but in the sense of, hey, this is a very good, very exuberant topic that I want to present. For those of you that are familiar with RACI matrices or a RACI chart, you're probably thinking, this is a boring topic. What are they presenting on this for? We already understand it. And some people that study for the PMP will also learn about RACI charts and roles and responsibilities. But I recently saw a presentation by Chris Deeger, and Chris is a person that works for IBM, and I thought it was a really good explanation of RACI and of the roles and responsibilities matrix, and I thought, you know, he's gone into it in such good detail here. This is something that probably we could all learn a little bit from. So I thought, I asked him if he wanted to do the presentation, and he was tied up. He really didn't have the time, and I asked him if I could use his slides as a basis. So a lot of these slides that are in this presentation have come from a foundation that he created. And you'll see at the end of the presentation, I'll have some references to some places you can look for more information. Let's look at slide number two here, the objectives of this presentation. I want to talk to you a little bit about the big C. That's a story I want to share with you. I want to talk to you about roles and responsibilities. I want to talk to you about what is RACI and why should we be using it. And then we're going to define what the terms are. We're going to define what the steps are in the process. And then we'll go over a little bit of a RACI validation check. How do you make sure that you really got your RACI matrix set up? So before I start into this, let's go to the next slide, slide three. I want to talk to you about the story of the big C. There's a person that's been on our calls before and has volunteered his time. Actually, he's the person that came up with this conference call number that we use all the time for our conference calls. He did a study for me as a volunteer. He said, tell me what your objectives are, tell me what your requirements are, and I will find the best conference call number for you to use. And he was the one that came up with this conference call, freeconferencecall.com. This service is free for us to use, and it satisfies all of our needs, and it's been great. They're a great company, and I would highly suggest using them for anybody that has conference call needs. So one day, this is going back several years now, Tom walks into my office, and he says to me, Henry, I got to talk to you about something. He says, there's a problem with management. We don't really know who, everybody's being held responsible for this thing, but we don't really know who has the authority to make the decision. We don't really know who is supposed to actually do the work. It's just, it's not really well defined, Henry. I'm telling you, I know what the problem is. He walks over onto my whiteboard, takes out a marker, and draws a gigantic C, a big C. He says, Henry, it's the big C. Well, can you guess what the big C is? The big C is communication. Now, as a project manager, we all have to have good communication, right? We talk about having a communication plan when we put our plans together for our project. And, you know, it's funny. Speaking about plans, I always have to tell this story about some people, when you talk to them about project management, you say, forming a plan in the beginning of the project, all they think about is a schedule. Well, a schedule is only part of the plan. There's other parts to the plan too, right? We need a risk and mitigation plan. We need a plan for our resources. We need a communication plan. There's several other plans. So when somebody says to you, did you make up the plan for the project? Make sure you talk to them about what plan means. It's more than just a schedule. There's several plans that need to be developed for several areas of the project. And the schedule is just one of those plans. So getting back to the story, Tom walks in, he draws this big C, and he says, do you know what the big C is? It's communication. Henry, we have to communicate. We have to be better at communicating. And a lot of times I go back to that, the big C. You know, a lot of the country's problems, a lot of the world's problems, a lot of the problems that we have in a regional level, a lot of the problems we have in politics, a lot of the problems we have in the financial industry, a lot of problems we have in our own families, a lot of problems we have with our children, with our wives, with our friends, a lot of times they can be attributed to communication, lack of good communication. So my wife and I even talk about this sometimes too. When we have something going on in our marriage, I'll say to her, it's communication again. We didn't communicate. That's why we're having this problem. So communication is very important to project managers too. And I wanted to stress that with this story. Just remember the big C. When you run into a problem, think about that. Did I really take the time to prepare people, to communicate to people? And that's really the whole goal, the whole objective of a RACI matrix of roles and responsibilities. It's communication. My dog would agree with me. So let's go on to slide number 4. Now that we got the goals in hand, we can move on to talk about the details. Here's an example of roles and responsibilities. You might have these maybe in a contract that was drawn up for the project you have. Maybe you put them in your project charter. Maybe you have them written down in your project control book. Roles and responsibilities are good to communicate to the team. Now, I put down some examples here, and I could see that I even have a spelling mistake. Sorry about that. But, and these are just, I just came up with a list, and I tried to make this open to any kind of a project, not just to IT projects, which we seem to concentrate on too much. By the way, check out our schedule of future calls on our website. I'm really wanting to put together a call for project managers that work in other than IT roles. And if you're in that role, that type of a role, we'd like to hear from you. Contact us, and maybe you'd like to be on some type of a panel to talk about what it's like to be a project manager in a non-IT environment. So I put down different roles here. You know, there might be a project manager, a designer, an architect, depending on the kind of project you're trying to do. If you're doing construction, you might have an architect. You might have an engineer or a technical lead. There's some customer that approves the work. There's an inspector or there's a QA person, whatever. And they all have different roles and responsibilities. I mean, they are the roles, and they all have different responsibilities, right? So if you have somebody in your project, let's say you hire on John Smith. Well, John Smith might be the project manager. He might take on more than one role. He might be the project manager and the tester. He might be the designer and the engineer. I don't know. But people can take on more than one role, but it's good to have the roles defined. That's an important part of communication. I believe that the RACI matrix takes things one step further, because while roles and having the responsibilities identified for the role, sometimes we need to know more than that. So let's go to slide number 5. Here we see a sample RACI matrix. And in this RACI matrix, we've got the different roles on the left-hand side, the architect, the engineer, the inspector, the builder. And I'm here talking about like a construction project. And if you think about this, you've got different things that go on the project. There's different functions, let's say. We've got the architectural design. We've got the structural design. We've got the construction of the project. We've got the regulatory approvals, and then we've got a closeout. And I really simplified this, right? those of you that are in construction will say, well, wait, you got that wrong. I'm sure there's something I'm missing there. There's a lot of details. But to give us an idea and a sample here, you could see that if you think about who's responsible for the architectural design, it's the architect. Who's responsible for the structural design? The engineer. Who's responsible for the construction, the builder? So we put an R in those columns. Let's go on to, I'll talk about this some more. Let's go on to slide number 6, and let's talk about why do we need, what is a RACI? What is RACI? Well, first of all, there's a whole method around RACI. You can call that the RACI accountability methodology, and it has to do with a systematic and participative technique to identify all the functions that are going on within the project and the tasks. It's to clarify the roles of all the people on the task, and then it's also to define what are the best methods for the individuals on the project to take on these roles and to get this project done. Now, the reason why we say it's systematic and it's participative is because it has to be systematic in the sense that we're going to build a system, we're going to build a chart to represent this, right? We're going to follow a process to come up with this chart. I'll talk about that some more later. But it also has to be participative because we want to make sure that the people that are involved in the process buy into the process. And if they have part of the decision-making to make up this RACI matrix or this RACI chart, then they'll be more bought into the process and they'll buy into it and they'll take part in it instead of you just handing it to them and say, this is the way things are going to be done. The questions that it answers are, who's going to do these things, what needs to be done, and who needs to know about it? And, of course, the benefits are that you're going to have clear delineation of what all the tasks are or their functions are, who's doing them, who's responsible, accountable, who's going to be consulted, who's going to be informed. It's also going to help you to streamline the work processes, and you're going to have clearly defined interfaces between all these people, right? So all in all, this will improve your organizational effectiveness on your project. Okay, let's go on to slide number 7. Why should we use a RACI matrix? Why should we use this? Well, first of all, you're going to know that you're going to need one of these things if you have any of these current state issues. Maybe you've got work that's redundant between people. Maybe your work is being delayed or you're finding out that certain tasks are not getting done because people don't know that they're supposed to do them. Maybe you've got a lot of finger pointing on the project. You could see some of the other items mentioned here. But all of these things could be currently happening in your project, and you'll know that a RACI matrix would help. The things that you want to avoid hearing are things like, gee, I don't know what to do here. I'm not sure what I have to do. And I don't know who to go to get approval. And, I could help out on the project, but nobody ever asked me for help. I know a lot about this, but nobody's ever asked me to help out. Nobody's ever asked me my opinion, and I have a lot of experience in this subject. Or maybe nobody's willing to make a decision, or things are slipping through the cracks. And my two favorites are the ones at the end. Gee, this is the first time I'm hearing that happened. Why wasn't I told? I'm going to stop here and open things up to questions, and we'll see where we are at this point. If anybody has any questions with what I covered so far, you can press *6 to ask unmute your phone and to ask a question. Any questions out there? Okay, hearing no questions, I'm going to continue on. Let's go to slide number 8. We'll talk about the definitions of the R, the A, the C, and the I for RACI. The R is somebody that's responsible, right? They're the person that's the doer. They're the person that's going to have accountability, if you want to say, I'm sorry, not accountability, but responsible for doing this function or task. The person that's accountable, the A, is somebody that's accountable for this in the sense that the buck stops with them. They're the ones that, have the final yes or no, the final power of veto, the one that their say is the final say, and they're the ones that make that decision. Now, usually you only have one person that's accountable. For those of you that know anything about negotiations, a salesperson is going to want to find out who the accountable person is, who it is that has the final decision, because that's the person they want to sell to. That's the person they want to get to say yes when they're selling something. C is for consulted. You know, these are the people that want to be in the loop or should be in the loop. I like to think of the word consulting or consultative, because somebody that's consulted is maybe the person that might have experience in this area, and maybe they're not the ones that actually are responsible for doing this work, but they may have experience in this area and they should be consulted. Or perhaps they have some higher level of understanding of this subject or have a more broad understanding of the subject, and they have to be consulted in the sense that maybe the person that's responsible needs to consult this person to make sure that the process they're following or the product that they're developing is fitting into certain constraints. So there's a two-way communication with this consulting person. And then you've got I, which is informed. Okay, there sometimes you have people that need to be informed of where we are in the process. Did we finish this task? Is that function completed? Sometimes they just need to know that this function has been checked off the list. Sometimes it's somebody in management. Somebody in management might need to be informed that a decision was made or that a task was completed. Or it might just be somebody like the customer that needs to know, hey, the design was complete, or hey, this was signed off. Let's go to slide number 9 and go back to the RACI matrix, and let's go into this in a little bit more detail. This is the same one that I had earlier in the presentation, and again, it's a fairly simple one. But if you look at the architectural design function, the architect is responsible for doing that, and he or she is also accountable for making sure that that gets completed in a correct manner. Now, the engineer might have to be consulted on that architectural design. The engineer might know something about, say, the way that the land is, where a building's being constructed. They might know that, you know, the slope of the land, or they might know something about maybe water runoff or something to do with the way that the building needs to be architected in order to fit around the environment that it's in. Now, as you think about the structural design, in this case, the engineer is responsible and accountable for that, but they may need to consult the architect because the architect came up with the architectural design, and the engineer might have to talk to them about what they meant in their drawings or something along those lines. Now, at this point, maybe the inspector or the builder need to know what's going into the design. Again, I don't know that much about the construction industry. I'm just trying to lay out an example here. The customer might also need to be informed, you know, that this step is being completed or what exactly the design looks like. Maybe they would like to see it. And then we get into the construction phase, and here we've got the builder that's responsible and accountable for that, and the customer wants to know what's going on, so they get informed. And then we go into the regulatory approvals. Now, at this point, we've got a new role. We've got the inspector that's responsible for that and accountable for that regulatory approvals and doing the inspection. And, of course, there's a bunch of people that need to be informed of the results of that. And then we get to the project closeout. The building's already constructed. It's already gone through regulatory approvals. It's already gone through the inspection. And at this point, we're going to close out this job. Well, at that point, the builder is responsible and accountable for, you know, signing off that all the construction was done, that it was inspected, that it went through all the proper approvals, that the engineer and the architect, you know, that the architect drawings were followed, the engineering drawings were followed, and, of course, the customer wants to be consulted in that whole thing. So you can see that, again, this is my envisionment of constructing a building, and it may not be 100% correct, but I'm just trying to give an idea here of how we would use a RACI matrix. Now, I've worked in consulting positions before where when we talk to the client and communicate with them what we're going to do on a project before we've even started it, let's say that we're responding to a request for proposal. When we're putting a proposal together, we want to make sure that part of our proposal, our statement of work, our contract agreement has a RACI matrix in it to define what we're responsible for as the vendor and what the customer is responsible for. They may need to approve certain design specs. They may need to be involved with assisting in certain things like putting together the requirements. So sometimes I find that the RACI sometimes doesn't go into enough detail to explain to enough degree what needs to be done or what responsibility, accountability, what consultative nature and form nature people have. Sometimes I feel like there's other things that need to be included. And I have seen other RACI matrix that use other mnemonics besides RACI. So let's turn to slide 10 and I'll talk about them for a minute. Some of the other variations on the RACI matrix that I've seen used before companies that I've worked for is sometimes you'll see a P in there for perform. Now, you might think perform and responsible are the same thing, but sometimes somebody can be responsible for doing something, and if you break it down to a further level, you might find out that a manager is responsible for something, but they can then delegate that work to somebody else that's going to approve it, I mean perform it. So you might have a situation where the RACI matrix gets into enough detail that you're saying who is the responsible managing authority, and then who is the person or the role that's actually going to perform the work. For instance, I'll give you an example. Maybe the responsible person on an IT project might be a technical lead, but the person performing the work might be the technician or the developer, let's say. Now, the other one that I've seen used is assist. Okay, an assisting role I've seen used sometimes when you have a contract where maybe you're going to do something like a joint application design where you're designing software together with the client. Well, in that case, the vendor is responsible and has the accountability for getting the design done correctly, but the client in that case will assist in putting together that design. It's especially true when you have a project where your stakeholders are perhaps somebody like an IT group that you're working with rather than the business people. They may actually assist in the process. Another one that I've seen used is approve. Approve is a little bit different than somebody that, say, is informed or somebody that consults. Approve is maybe if you have a relationship, again, with a customer where, let's say that you have some design documents or, you know, some plans or something that you pass to the client or to the customer, and they need to approve those. Well, they may be on the hook for a certain task to do an approval. And while I'm on that subject, I might mention to you folks that for those of you that are working on contracts, there should be a lot of assumptions around the task of approving, because I've run into situations before on certain contracts where we didn't have an assumption or a clause in the contract, a term and condition that says that they have to get back to us within a certain time. And what happened was that the client actually held the project up because it said in the contract that we couldn't move ahead until they approved something. And they went through so many levels of approval that it held the project up while we were waiting for them to approve that item. Now, some contracts have wording in them that includes that if they don't approve it within a certain number of days or weeks, whatever, then automatic approval occurs. And that's a good one, because then you know that that won't hold up your project from progressing. So that's just an aside note. I offer that for free. There's no extra charge for that extra advice. Okay, and the last one that I had here was review. Sometimes you run into a situation where somebody needs to review something. For instance, maybe a draft needs to be reviewed by somebody. They don't really have to approve it, but they want to have the ability to review something so that they might be able to make comments on it or whatever. You can continue to keep moving with the next step or the next task or function, but this person wants, or this role needs to have the review capability for that item that you're working on. Maybe it's a draft or a final version or whatever. So if you look at slide number 11 at the RACI matrix, I've added some of these mnemonics here to show how sometimes having additional mnemonics to express some of these other things that need to be done help in defining better what's going on. For instance, if you look in the structural design column, you can see that the architect, where before we had a C, now we're saying the architect is going to assist the engineer. You might have a situation where the architect is assisting the engineer and the engineer is performing that work. You might also have a situation in the first column with the architectural design where the customer wants to review the architectural design so that they can make comments on it. They don't want to approve it, but they want to be able to review that. And then also in the very last column on the last row, you could see that the customer maybe needs to give final approval. I put an AP there. The customer needs to put final approval on the closeout of this building or this job or whatever before the contract can get paid. So these are things that sometimes when you add to a methodology that's already been established, you can maybe even help it to be more useful and efficient for you. Whether you use these or not, that's totally up to you. There's not a law that I know of in the United States or any other country about what letters you can use for a racy matrix. And I guess that's the reason why it gets a little racy of a subject. So why don't we stop right here? It's a good stopping point before I go to slide 12. Any questions at this point? You can press *6 to unmute your phone. Okay, on slide 12, we're going to go into the process for creating racies. This is the part that I thought was very interesting because a lot of times you hear about racy charts, but you don't hear a lot about how to create them. Well, first of all, what you want to do is identify what the roles are, right? We talked about roles and responsibilities in the beginning. Well, what are the roles that there are on the project that you're working on? What role is going to be using the process that you're doing or performing the project? Who are the users is another way of looking at that. Who's going to be directing the process? What are the roles that are going to be directing the process? Who are the influencers? And then who's going to be delivering the process? Who are the service providers? Who are the people that are going to be building the product is another way of looking at that. Second step is to define the process manual. What model? What are the basic processes that you're going to use to deliver, build this item, or to deliver this service? What are the parts that the tasks or the functions that go into planning and managing this product or service that you're trying to build? So now you get a process model. Then, and you can express that as a flow chart or as use cases or as, if you want to, you can make a what we call a swim lane diagram. You can define that process model. And then the next thing that you need to do is determine what the activities and the tasks are. So start to lay out what the activities are and the related tasks having to do those activities. And, of course, you can go into a RACI chart in as much or as little detail as you want. You can imagine that you can have a RACI chart that has several hundred columns in it, several hundred rows in it, too. I mean, you can have all types of roles and all types of tasks and activities that need to be done. You know, if you take your work breakdown structure, you know, you all know as project managers that there's different levels of a WPS, right? You can start at the top, and you could work your way down through successive levels of detail to the point where you can have plenty of tasks, and you can define your RACI matrix at, you know, any subset of those. You know, you may decide that, gee, I only have an issue with the actual construction. I don't have an issue with the planning portion. I only have an issue with the construction. So I'm only going to take that one section, that one WBS top level, and I'm going to break that down into detail and make a RACI matrix for that because that's the only place that it matters, right? So you can decide that you can take any subset of the whole project and make a RACI matrix for it. You can take any certain tasks and define it for those, or you can take any certain roles and define it for those. So you can break it down to as much or little detail and to what area you want it to be according to where you feel as though it's going to be the best help and the most guide to being the most efficient for your organization. So then what you want to do is you want to start mapping the roles to these activities and the related tasks. And then you start assigning the RACI, or if you want to use other mnemonics, you could use those as well. And then when you get that done, I'll tell you, one of the things that you want to do at this point is you want to start analyzing it. And I'll go through that in a minute. There's ways and there's references that I have at the end about ways to analyze that you've done the chart correctly and you have it all laid out pretty well. But you want to make sure that you map the outputs to the activities. You want to map the roles to the outputs to this process. And why do we concentrate on the output? The reason we concentrate on the output of an task or a WBS is because that's really the deliverable that we are concentrating on. So we think a lot about the outputs more than we do the inputs. You want to make sure that you assign an RACI to each output, right? There has to be somebody especially that's responsible for it. There has to be somebody that's accountable for it. Maybe the C and the I aren't too important, but you do want to make sure that you have the R and the A. And I would, you know, look to see whether there's somebody that needs to be consulted or somebody informed for that output. Let's go on to slide number 13. This is a little bit more complex RACI chart. You can see here that we're talking about an IT process, a delivery process that has the different functions of design, develop, deploy, operate, support, and maintain. Now, this one switched around on the axis because on the top we have the different roles, right? We talked before about influencers, service providers, or maybe they're the builders or the constructors of whatever it is that you're providing as a product or service. And then we've got the users of that product or service. And in the IT industry, the influencers might be things like the corporate IT steering committee, the technical risk committee. It might be somebody in the business level, say. It might be, you know, your executive might influence the project. Service providers are things like your application manager, your IT manager. Service provider might be your development group. Service provider might be your QA group. They're the people that actually get the work done, right? And then your users are the people that use this product or service. So in the construction industry, it might be, you know, the people that are going to be using the building, right? I mean, if you think about who the stakeholders are in your project, they really can fit into these categories, and that's a good way to come up with what the roles are. So your users are the people that are using this product or service. In the IT industry, that might be your IT users for things like administrative items, and it might be your business users for actually using if it's an application or a network. And then you would go through and you would, you know, like I said, through the steps, you would take the R, the A, the C, and the I and put it into these individual cells for this matrix. And again, this is a little bit more detailed than the one that I presented, but you can imagine that this can even become more and more detailed if you were to break down into a further level of the WBS, what the design, you know, for the design phase, we might have lots of activities and tasks underneath that. So that can be broken down into several levels. And you might decide that for your RACI matrix, that you want to break design down into 10 levels, not 10 levels below, but 10 items below that, when maybe develop and deploy aren't that important to your function. And maybe maintaining is something that you need to break down into even further details depending on the product or service that you're delivering. Are there any questions at this point? You can press star 6 on your line to unmute. Okay, let's go on to slide number 14. Slide number 14 is a validation check. It's a good idea to do a validation check on your RACI matrix once you put it together. Now, let me go through a few of these. You can read them all, and I'm not going to go through every single one of them, but you can imagine if you don't have any R's, if nobody's responsible for getting the job done, for instance, if you look in every column, let's go back to the matrix that I did on building when I had the functions or the tasks going across the top in the columns. If you look in every column and there's not an R in there, then who's doing the work? So you want to look for that. If you don't have any A's, then somebody's not accountable for it. If you have too many A's, there might be confusion. I like to think of this as like a baseball team. when you see two people in the outfield running for the ball. I got it, I got it, I got it. And they both run into each other and nobody gets it, right? So you want to make sure that you don't have too many A's, or else you're going to end up with confusion over who's accountable for this. The other thing is you might have too many C's, and that would run into a situation where there's so many people that you have to consult that you can't get the job done, right? And you also don't want to have every box filled in, because if you do, then it's just so much, it's just overbearing. All right, so I think that, you know, you'll find that some of these rules here will help you to validate your racing matrix and to make sure that it's a good one before you publish it to the team. But one thing that I want to mention, getting back to the big C, RACI and roles and responsibilities are all communication. And the only way that you're going to make good, effective use of communications is if you share these with people. I mentioned earlier on about the value of buy-in. You know, you need to be in consultation with your team in coming up with a RACI matrix or a roles and responsibilities definitions. You need to talk them over with your team and let them give you input. They might say, you know, I'm not accountable for that. That's really Joe. You know, he's got that other role and he's accountable for that. So, you know, talk it over with your team and find out where they're at and try to work on this with the team so that you have some collaboration, you build this matrix in such a way so that you have buy-in, and so that people are familiar with it too. If people work with you on this chart, they'll be familiar with it. If you take that chart that I showed you on slide 13 and you put it up on a projector in your conference room, you say, here's our roles and here's our RACI matrix, our roles and responsibilities, here's the tasks, here's our RACI matrix. Boom, there it is. Look at it for 5 minutes. I'm taking it down, I'm going to the next slide. You're never going to see it again in your lifetime. Are people going to buy into that? I don't think so. So you want to make sure that you get buy-in from the team, and the way to do that is through communication. You know, you want to talk to the team. You want to make sure they're involved. You want to make sure that they have some say in how this gets constructed so that they're a part of it and so that they're familiar with it. And the more that you can take this and put it in front of them, the more that you can communicate them to them, the more you're taking care of the big C. That's the end of my presentation. I'm going to open things up to questions now at this point. First, what we'll do is we'll open up to questions about the topic at hand, which is roles and responsibilities in the RACI matrix. I hope that we'll get some questions out there that I could answer. If I can't answer them, that's okay. I can get back to you. But I think I would be really happy to hear some hard questions out there that I could be challenged by. Again, you'll need to push *6 to unmute your phone. And while we're waiting for some brave soul to ask a question, I wanted to mention that on slide 16, I have there some references and I have my contact information if you'd like to contact me.
Hey, Henry, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, this is Roger.
Hi,
actually,
Roger.
It's more of a comment and a question. One is, I think especially the blended sample RACI chart that included not only your RACI, but your approval and coordination and some of the other roles is actually more realistic and a lot more useful. I wish I would have had that level of detail when I was putting together a couple of these charts. It would have laid out, or it would have eliminated a whole lot of confusion, especially in a kind of an entrepreneurial environment which we were in. Something like this is very much needed because there's a lot of multitasking, there's a lot of duplication of effort, and you know, which way is up kind of thing happens quite often. So reining in the organizational structure of it all, I think, plays a big part, and I think the RACI chart would have helped a lot, especially the level of detail that you provided here. So that's kind of the comment there. The question is, the touch points that while you were speaking, I was starting to reminisce were stakeholder management, because I think a lot of the RACI pieces are either the stakeholders are trying to get their hands and customers, you know, too far into your project or maybe micromanaging. And I think by defining those roles that you called out in one of the slides, that would be very, very useful, just so you can have some boundaries, so to speak, regarding that topic. Do you find managing the team or managing the stakeholders or are they equal in your mind?
Well, I think that any project manager would answer with the usual project management answer of "it depends."
I knew that was coming.
Judy knew that was coming. But I do want to say that I found from my experience that most of the team members that I have, and I think maybe it has something to do with the way that I manage projects, I tend to be very collaborative in nature, so I involve people in the project a lot. You know, I try to minimize the amount of meetings, but I do try to involve people in the project a lot. And for that reason, I find there's a lot of trust between me and my team members, and they're more apt to know, to follow these, you know, what is their responsibility that's well-defined and that type of thing. I don't find that I have that many issues there. Also, the thing that I found, too, is that usually when I manage a project in the past, it's been where I've been able to form the team, and the team is usually, if you want to say, the vendor team of which I'm a part of. So we're kind of cohesive and synergistic in a lot of ways because we're formed as a team. We're co-located sometimes. You know, we have communication tools so that we could talk to each other as a team when there's a layer of separation between us and the client, right? I think any project you have, as a project manager, if you think about your stakeholders and you look at the communication barriers that you have within a project, where do they occur? Well, usually you have a lot better communication tools and techniques between you and your team. So these kind of things, and I can't say it's always the case, but these kind of things are, the communications are easily handled between you and your team when there's barriers between you and the client. You know, sometimes they're technology barriers. You know, it could be, I mean, I had a project just recently where somebody was talking to me where we were trying to get the project started up, and one of the first things we needed from the client was their database. Well, we ran into a big technology issue where our infrastructure group would not allow them to have access to our technical infrastructure group couldn't get access to their technical environment because of some kind of an issue with routers or something, and their group couldn't get into ours because of some problems on their side where they couldn't get through their routers. So there was no way for us to send the database from one group to the other because of all of these security issues.
Mm-hmm.
And this was holding us up. So, you know, a lot of times, I guess what I'm trying to say is that a lot of times the barriers are between you and your customer. Now, if it's an internal project, maybe you don't have those. Or maybe you do. Maybe they're in another group or another department, and the barriers are a little bit thicker there. So a lot of times I do find out that, you know, you do have these issues. And when you talk about stakeholder management, I just found from my experiences that most of the time, keeping the client or the customer, the stakeholder that has the authority to sign off on the payment, to sign off on the approvals for whatever the work products are, those people I find are usually the ones that you have to keep on the hook. You know, it's one thing to be able to say to your team, look, we've got a deliverable due this Friday. I do not want to be late on any of our deliverables. And it's another thing to say to your client, look, in the contract it says that you're supposed to give us an approval on this item, and I'm still waiting on you, and you're holding up the contract. You're holding up our work. You know, there's a big difference between those two, that the people on your team work for you and the client doesn't. You know, and I go back to a few months ago when I did a presentation on metrics, and one of the things that I mentioned in there is that when you have a client that is responsible for certain items in your contract, I would suggest that if you're having an issue with that you create some kind of a metric to measure what the response rate is. I did this for one client, I put down what the major deliverables were for us and what the major deliverables were to come back from them, you know, their approvals, and put this into a chart, and I put just the red and green. And every week I would give this to the COO and I'd say, okay, here's how we did the past week. Green, green, red, red, green, red, green. And he looked at it and he said, you know, I just noticed something. All of the things that you guys are doing is green, and all the things we're doing are red. I said, I've been trying to tell you this for weeks now. We're waiting for your people to give us these approvals, and we don't have them, so we can't move ahead. But we're still making sure we commit to our deliverables. Now, one thing I mentioned to him is that if we don't fix this soon, our stuff is going to start turning red, too. And that's eventually, that did start to happen. And then what he did was he took somebody that was on the project that was a key resource that we needed from his organization, and he removed her of all of her duties and dedicated her to working on the project with us, and the work was able to go a lot more smoother. But it wouldn't have occurred if I didn't communicate to him. Again, it gets back to the big C.
Sure.
So that's a long answer to your short question, but I do feel as though...
It's an answer as well.
Yeah, you've got to keep the customer on the hook for things.
Right. Thank you.
And sometimes the only way that they will know that is through a picture. You know, a picture speaks 1,000 words, and a chart speaks 500 words.
You start this chart, the RACI chart, right at the topmost levels and work it down?
Well, Judy, it gets back to what I had said before, you know. It depends on the type of issues that you're having. I would suggest, and one of the things that I made sure that we had done when I worked in the consulting company was that every time that we put together a statement of work, we had a version of a RACI matrix in there, especially for the things, getting back to Roger's question, especially for the things we knew that the client was on the hook for or that they need to assist us in doing. I made sure that they got on that chart. So that was right there in the agreement, and it was signed off by the client. And then this way I could show it to them and remind them that that's the way things are supposed to work. So it depends on what areas you anticipate there's going to be issues in. I would suggest doing it at a high level early on in your project. And then, you know, any project manager knows that when you run into areas of risks, or issues, right, because you should be managing your issues, managing your risk.
Yep.
Sometimes you need a tool to fix those, and when you see those things pop up, when you see a risk pop up on the risk chart or in your risk log or whatever, or if you see an issue pop up, you know, you may want to look at it and say, what do I have? You know, I always like to think of project managers. I don't know if you guys ever remember, there used to be a cartoon, Felix the Cat. I used to love that. He had a bag of tricks. And no matter what he came up against, he would reach into this bag of tricks and he'd come up with, there was something that was 10 times the size of his bag or whatever. He'd pull out of there and, you know, that would help him solve whatever the problem was, you know. So project managers have a bag of tricks, right? And this is one of the things that you have. I talked about metrics a few weeks ago. That's in your bag of tricks. Your RACI matrix is in your bag of tricks. And if you see a risk come up, and again, project managers love to talk about risks because a risk is something that hasn't occurred yet. So project managers like to be proactive, right? So when we see a risk, before that thing turns into an issue, let's see if we can solve it. How can we solve it? Well, let's look in our bag of tricks, and we might find out that a RACI matrix is one way to solve that issue. Maybe we have an issue where, again, going back to some of those things of our earlier slide, we might have some people saying things are falling through the cracks, or I don't know who needs to approve this, or this thing went ahead and got done without an approval, and it really should be approved by such and such a role. Well, that's the time to pull the RACI matrix out of your bag of tricks. So I would say do it at the beginning of your project, but if you need it in the middle or you need it near the end, pull it out and use it.
I think that's a great point that you're making, that we got to get the highest levels to buy in, and what better method to show with a RACI chart, because those are the problems that we encounter on our consulting assignments, is many of the delays or changes and whatever come from, you know, senior management.
Right. Yep. And sometimes bringing one of these up, or another thing is you might have in your bag of tricks is, a swim lane chart where you show different functions and you show who's responsible for them.
Yeah, I did
Then
that.
you bring that out of your bag of tricks and you put one of those together, and sometimes it can be very simple, and you show it to your client or your customer, and you talk about it, and you say, "Do you agree with this process?" And then you publish it to the whole team. Maybe you bring it up in a few team meetings, reinforce it a couple of times. I can't underemphasize, I should say, I can't overemphasize enough the value of repeating things and saying them over and over. I had a thing that I was working on at work lately, and I had one of my project managers had said, I had talked to them about this one thing and said, "We have to get this log going." And then I sent out an email last week, and I said, I sent to all the project managers, "I'm in a PMO," and I said, "We have to get this log going." And then the other day I said, "I need your log by this Friday." And one of the project managers sent me back a message and said, "I never even heard
Oh no.
of this thing." So, you have to continually keep repeating things if they're important to people and make sure that they're reminded of these things.
And pictures do show, the problems. I process map problems on getting credit approvals and at the request of the CFO. And by the time we diagrammed it and analyzed it, he was the problem. Because he was, one, he was making the approval level so small that he was approving everything. And it was all sitting on his table, on his desk, waiting for approval.
Brother. Oh, brother. Yep. Yeah, that gets back to there's a couple of things there in that bag of tricks that I talk about. One is, another thing that I've used before that's a good way to try to manage your client, if you want to say that, is your status report. I've had times when I've utilized my status report to say, right up there in red, "It's been 6 days since we delivered the credit approval process diagram. It hasn't been approved yet. And if it doesn't get approved in 3 days, then the end product is going to be delayed by a week," or whatever it is, Sometimes you
Yeah,
have to do that.
you can calculate cycle time and show it to them, or the first pass yield to see how many have to go through rework.
Yeah, and I think, that's another thing too. One of the things that I have as a saying is, customers don't like surprises, And I think even though as difficult as it is sometimes to confront a customer or a client or your main stakeholder, your sponsor of your project, and tell them the bad news, the thing that I found is that if you let bad news sit for a while, it very rarely gets better. Bad news doesn't get better when you leave it laying by itself. Usually, when you have bad news, you're better off to, as soon as you find out about it, get that thing put in your status report, talk about it. One of the things I talked about on one of the calls last year was how I had a project manager that worked for me at one point, and I could never understand how we would have these gigantic problems that would come up in the status reports. And I would be in the status meeting, and when she explained it to the sponsor, they would say, "Okay. Okay," and she'd explain how she's going to handle it. Okay. And I was like, "Wait a second, is this the same project sponsor that I've talked to before? How is she doing this?" So I called her on the phone, and what she was doing is we had status reports on Monday, and on Friday, before the weekend, she would call the sponsor and tell him what all the, if there was any risks or issues, especially what the big ones were. And she would tell him, "I'm sorry, this just came up. I know that you like to be the first to know. I know you don't like me keeping any surprises from you. Here's the way I'm going to handle it. I'm going to try to solve it this way. I'm going to try to mitigate it this way. So I've got a plan in place, and I hope you have a good weekend." And the client would come in on Monday, and they had processed this over the whole weekend. They come in Monday morning, and when she mentioned it on the status report, they were just like, "Okay. You got a plan. There's a mitigation plan in place. Okay. we're still moving ahead. And, you know, there's a lot of value in sometimes giving people some advance notice. Again, people don't like to be surprised by
right.
bad news, but they'd rather be surprised now than later. And how many times have you told somebody about something and they'll say, how long did you know about this?
Yep.
Well, I've known about this for 4 months now. And I just got around to telling you now. They don't like to hear that. So, you know, the earlier you could let people know about bad news and that you have a plan to solve it, the better.
Now, how often does the project manager who is responsible for, you know, the whole area of communications along with the entire team, how often are these RACI charts reviewed to make sure that it's do you review
well,
it at the same time as regular reviews or what?
That depends, I think. Again, I'm always saying that depends, but it really has to do with whether the team is starting to have any of the issues that we talked about earlier. If you
uh-huh.
see that there's issues and the RACI chart is not, you know, committed to somebody's memory, you
yep.
know, maybe you need to post it someplace. You know, I had one project that I worked on. This is one of my favorite projects where it was also one of the worst projects I worked on at the same time. But there was a lot of stuff I really liked about this project. We had everybody on the team co-locate, except for I think two people co-located in one area in the building with one door. And, of course, I don't know how that worked as far as fire escapes were concerned,
yeah.
but there was one door to go in and out. And what I would do is I'd post things like this on the door so everybody would see it when they came in the morning and when they left at night, you know, and any time they went in or out. So, you know, you might need to post something or you might need to include it in your weekly status, or maybe if you have a regular meeting with your team, or maybe you just have to call a special meeting and say, hey, you know, I don't think we're following this. You know, we talked about this earlier, and it seems
yep.
as though we forgot some of the finer points. Let's get together and go over it one more time. Maybe you're going to find out that something's changed in the project and somebody
yeah.
thought, well, gee whiz, you know, I thought I was responsible, but now Joe's responsible, and maybe you need to update the matrix, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
so get back out, talk about it with the team, and try to get whatever issues you're having resolved. But I wouldn't, you know, every project manager will tell you, if I did everything that's on the list for project managers every single week, then I would not have enough time to sleep.
Yep.
So, you know, being a project manager, you're constantly juggling priorities, right? You have to
yeah.
figure out what are the priorities and what are the most efficient uses of my time. And so I would say, you know, it's important for something like a RACI matrix to communicate that early on in the project, so that everybody knows, you know, what the role on the team is, and then just get it out again whenever you think it's necessary and to the degree that you feel as though it's necessary. If there's a lot of big problems going on and they can be solved by the matrix, pull it back out. If they're just light little things, maybe just print it out and show it to a team member.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or maybe if they're slight problems, you just say, look, I've got bigger issues to solve right now. I'll let that one ride.
I'd always like to put things down on paper so
right.
we can go back to it rather than just talk about it at meetings.
Sure.
And then have to recreate history.
Yeah, I mean, that's another big thing about the big C is, you know, I'm a big one for, and I should probably do a presentation sometime about meetings. That's
mm-hmm.
one of the things on my list of presentations that I'd like to put together. But,
yep.
you know, with meetings, how many meetings have you gone to where they're just held every week and there's no agenda?
Yep.
So why are we in this meeting? I don't know, because this
yep.
is our regular weekly meeting. Well, there should always be an agenda for a meeting. There should have to be, you know, at the very least, there should be an agenda for what needs to be communicated at the meeting. But usually things that need to be communicated, there's ways to do them other than meetings. So I wouldn't say that if it's only communicating things, if a meeting is maybe a good idea for that. But the best reason to have a meeting is if a decision needs to be made and you need to pull, you know, say more than two people together to make that decision. So, you know, there are good reasons for meetings. You should always have an agenda for a meeting. And then I would always say that somebody should put I don't like to call up minutes in a meeting because that kind of talks about a lot of detail. I like to put a recap of a meeting together. Sometimes when I'm sitting in a meeting, I'll bring my notebook, my laptop, and I will actually type right in an email. I'll type who attended, what the time the meeting was, what the main topic was. Mm-hmm. I'll paste the agenda in there, and then I'll just take bullet points. So-and-so said this, that was pointed out that this occurred, and I'll say action item, and I'll put this in bold, and then I'll put whoever's responsible, which usually ends up being me.
Yeah,
I'll put the responsible party in bold.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put that in bold, and then I'll you can put a due date, and then what the action is.
Yep.
I put that together, and then at the end of the meeting, when everybody walks out of the room, I email it to everybody.
Great.
And it's usually just a few bullet points.
Now, where do these RACI charts reside? With the project manager or with the change review, change control board, or what?
The RACI charts really should be part of the project manager's project control book.
Okay.
The project control book is the master book for the project that the project manager has control over. Now, in your organization, maybe they'll tell you that the RACI chart needs to go in a certain place or whatever, and, you know, of course, you should follow whatever guidelines your organization has. But,
uh-huh.
you know, generally speaking, the project manager should have a project control book that should have things like the project charter. It should have any RACI diagrams. It should have a communication plan. It should have your schedule. It should have nowadays, you know, it's funny because you read a lot of material in project management books that will talk about a project control book actually being like a three-ring binder, right? Or maybe
mm-hmm.
it's a file cabinet or something. Well, nowadays I find that most of our project control books are all electronic. I mean,
yeah.
I was just talking to somebody today. I mean, I hardly ever print anything out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We have in our company, we have different tools that we could use, technology tools that allow us to do a project control book online. You know, there's several ones that are available to you on the internet that are open and available to people. You could do something like a wiki. You know, there's wikis out there. There's you might want to use a blog or something to put it
uh-huh.
into, if the way to index it. You know, there's several ways to do this. You know, of course, one of the things you want to be careful about is, you know, as a project manager, and this is something we talk about a lot too at the office, is, you know, you've got your project control books sometimes has some confidential information that
yeah.
really the team doesn't need to see. You know, maybe there's a roll-off plan for your resources. There might be some financial information in there that might have rates for your resources. You don't really want your team to see that. So be careful about your project control book that you have appropriate security for areas within that. You know, maybe your financial area you want to restrict to only the project manager, and maybe if you have a project coordinator, and maybe the executive that oversees the project.
In your critical path.
Those type of things. So you want to make sure that you have appropriate security. You know,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't suggest, for instance, even if you're working, if you know, you're a small company and you're working on a consulting arrangement with some other company, I wouldn't suggest putting your control book on some open
right.
website that anybody in the world could get to. You know, I wouldn't suggest
yeah.
that. You know, it should be password protected and have appropriate security
mm-hmm.
in that system. So,
okay.
So, Henry? Henry?
Yes.
This is Bart Zonig.
Hi, Bart.
How you doing?
New PMP.
New PMP.
Congratulations.
Feels good. Thank you. We're saying that this resides in your project control book or whatever, but wouldn't you also distribute this normally to everybody who is listed on it? So, I mean, it's a communication.
Right. Yeah.
Am I wrong in thinking that?
No, you're correct. You're correct. And I think Judy's question was more about, you know, where do you store this item? You know, where do you have this, you know, the master copy of this so that it's available to the team? And, yes, you do want to make sure you communicate that to them. And, you know, what I highly suggest is, you know, I'm not getting into all the details of a project charter, but one of the things that you might want to do, and what I've done before, is you have a kickoff meeting for your team. And you might even have to have several kickoff meetings for your team, depending on the way that you bring resources onto your project. Some projects you have, like, maybe you start off with 5 resources and you ramp up to 20 resources, let's say. You might have to have one project kickoff for those 5 initial resources and another one down the road when you have more people on the project or whatever. But, you may want to have a kickoff meeting where you go through things like, what is our project charter? What kind of things are important in our project to the client? We talk about the triple constraint. I like to call it the quadruple constraint. But, what's important to the client? Is scope more important to the client, or is the quality more important to the client, or is cost more important to the client, or is the time that we get this done, more important to the client? I think I mentioned before on some of my calls, I used to have the same project I talked about before, where we had one door in and out for the project team. I put a big sign on the door, and I told the people that, one of the things is that about gold plating as a project manager, we talk about gold plating and let's not do more than's required. So I put a big sign on the door with a big circle with a line through it. And this was being done up in Canada where there's a lot of signs with a circle with a line through it. And I put a bell and a whistle in there. And I told the team, I kept telling them, no bells or whistles. I said, I know as perfectionists, we want to come up with, the greatest functionality and everything for this application. But the client, their main thing that they want is they want it done. I don't remember the date, but I think it was August 31st that year. They want this done August 31st. So let's not build in any bells and whistles, okay? But I had this big sign on the door, no bells and whistles. So those kind of things are things that you want to communicate when you have your team kickoff meeting with your team. And, you may also want to have a kickoff with your sponsor, if it's a client or a customer, you want to have a kickoff with them. And maybe you emphasize some of the same things, or maybe there's different things that you emphasize to your internal team. But a kickoff meeting is a good place to communicate a lot of these things that people are going to need to know about. I mean, I've seen presentations on about establishing team norms, like how are our meetings going to be run, and how do you escalate something, and these kind of things. They're all things that are good to mention when you have your kickoff meeting for your team.
Okay. Now, another question I had here is for, well, you have responsible and accountable, that's obvious. But consulted and informed, for instance. Now, why is informed on there? Is it for like when you distribute this and you have your kickoff meeting, somebody says, hey, I should be informed? Is that the point so that we know we didn't exclude them from that?
Yeah,
Or is
sometimes you have some,
person
yeah, sometimes you have people that, go ahead, Bart, go ahead.
or is it like for the person who's accountable is he's accountable to make sure this guy is informed? I don't know that that's really a true statement. Amy might not
Yeah,
be.
that's an interesting nuance. Is it the person that's responsible or the person that's accountable that's responsible for informing the informed person? But usually it's
I
the
don't think that
person
really
that.
necessarily. It's probably the project manager that's got to make sure the guy
Yeah.
gets.
Right. Yeah, and sometimes, as I mentioned, the per go ahead.
Yeah, I guess it's just that everybody who is involved sees whoever else is involved, and people who aren't indicated as being involved have a upfront time to talk and say, "Hey, you missed me here," or "I
Right.
would like to do this instead of that," or whatever.
Sure. Right. Yeah, and it's interesting because you have somebody that might need to be informed, but then all of a sudden they're trying to make the decisions on the project and they become more of a consultative role. And depending on the situation that you're working on, you may or may not be able to have control over that. I'm thinking one project that we worked on where we worked for a financial client. And we knew that we had to go through an approval stage with the client, and originally the approval stage only involved one unit within the company that was in the IT portion of the company. But then we found out later on that they started involving their database team, because the database team well said, well, you can't make that change because it might affect the way that the database handles this. And then we found out that when the database team got involved, they said, well, wait a second, You know, this kind of has to do with security too. We have to involve our IT security group. So then the IT security group, and finally we ended up with a meeting that originally started out with, like, I don't remember, it was two or five people at the client site that had to approve our work, and this was a content management system we were developing. Originally there was only like two or five people, I don't remember the number, that had to approve this. It ended up being something like around 16 people that would come to these meetings that had to discuss this. And again, it was holding up the project. It was holding up our progress. So, you know, something like that for a RACI matrix is something that you might want to put together and escalate that to their management or executives at a higher level, and or maybe if it's even the sponsor, and say, look, you know, if you go back to the contract, if you go back to our discussions when the contract was put together, you know, this was just going to be the IT guys that were going to approve this, and you got some business analysts on your side that were, you know, that group of five people were supposed to approve this, and now all of a sudden we've got the database people, we've got the infrastructure people, we've got the security people, you know, we've got like 16 people in this meeting and nobody can come to agreement, we're not getting anything done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is going to push off the project by X number of weeks if we continue to go this way. You know, I'm not going to make any money on it, which isn't going to make me look good to my boss. They might cancel the project. You know, let's come to some terms about how we can handle this, you know.
Yeah.
Again, back to what I said, don't, you know, no surprises. Let's, you know, sometimes we're adverse to confrontations, but in the long run, it's better off to confront issues like that early rather than let them fester.
Yeah, I agree exactly, and the RACI chart probably helps point that out now instead of it being a problem later. And so that's
right.
Good.
Any other questions or comments? They've all been good discussions tonight. I can't believe that we took up that much time, but it's been good. You know, I've been able to relate a lot of stories that I've been going through because, you know, when you've got a lot of experience in project management, you can talk about these things from a lot of different facets of where you've had experience, good and bad.
Most of the war stories are communication stories.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, it's amazing how much the big C takes a part
mm-hmm.
of that.
Our four-star general is also a new PMP.
That's right, yes. Congratulations to you, too.
All right, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, thanks so much, Henry. Really, really
sure.
Cool.
Well, thank you all for joining. I'm going to stay on after I stop the recording here in case anybody else has any comments about PM lessons learned in general or any project management topics they want to discuss or any networking that we'd want to do. Maybe we'll stay on and congratulate some of our new PMPs.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, for you that have joined on the podcast. Please send us an email and tell us where you're listening from. Give us some comments or give us some suggestions for some new topics. We'd be glad to hear from you. As I always say, thank you very much for listening. God bless you and keep on learning.
This has been a PM Lessons Learned podcast. Project Managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Come join our group. Visit our website at pmlessonslearned.com. Till next time, keep on learning.